Oh man, I could listen to Jimmy Smith all day long. The king of the Hammond B3 organ. That is from his 1959, yes, I said it, 59 album. It was the 15th that he produced in 3 years. Smith died on February the 8th, 2005. In Scottsdale, Arizona. He was 79 years old. And as you can witness with your own ears, he was one of the people who brought the Hammond B3 to jazz. And it has never left since. This is Lead Stories. I'm Yatrice Lead. And it's got to be something in the air or the water because people are doing all kinds of crazy things. And we're seeing this penchant now for mass killings. We know that, oh, just to update you on that one, this was not a mass killing, but it was in South Florida. And I talked about that. I commented about the bizarre behavior. Well, in today's news here in South Florida, police discovered a young woman who apparently was pumped with drugs, and of course she died. And it's indicative of the kind of let everything go attitude that was typical of what we saw, what we witnessed in the behavior of the people who gathered for spring break. I just wish, I really sincerely hope and pray that somewhere in the next few days, those who were here allegedly to have a good time and ended up being part of a scandalous display of just not caring about others at all and behaving in a bizarre way. I hope there is some moment of sanity in the next few days when they can review this spring break experience and understand what a mess they made, not just of the spring break activities themselves, but of their own lives and what they said to people in the way they acted, really outrageous. It's still the talk of the town down here, where people are just outraged at having to clean up after people who allegedly are adults and brought with them a holy mess of things. More than 1,000 people were arrested. That's an indication of the kind of behavior that they exhibited while they were here. And now we have this shooter in Boulder, Colorado, deciding that he was going to emulate the shooter in the Atlanta area who killed eight. Well, he said, I could do better than that. And I think he killed 10, including a police officer who was responding or attempting to respond, attempting to render aid. It's just mind-boggling. I want you to put in your head, how do people now, how do people react about the United States when they read these kinds of stories? And obviously, they ask, what the heck is going on in this country? What is it with Americans that they love to kill, guns, and, you know, to shoot people? What is it? And it's not an idle or simplistic question. It's a very deep question. And I don't know that we can deal with the answer or answers that we get by asking these questions, because it would force us to confront a reality that we have pushed away so that it doesn't exist. And if it is to be raised, it's not to be raised publicly. It's one of those shush, shush, shush things, as if we don't already have ideas about this. What causes this as a kind of national phenomenon? A chain reaction occurs. And you wonder where the country is going. What does it signify? What does it indicate about the lives we are living now, our society now, and in the near future? How dare we have hope when we see the trend on the other side just repeating itself, and to the point where people think, well, you know, if I want to do something outrageous, let me do something like this, and my name would be out all over the place. Everybody would know who I am. I would be famous. Even though, of course, you can see the sickness, the mental illness there. We have serious issues to deal with. And no matter how they try to make us believe that these are aberrations, these are things that don't normally happen in the United States, but they just happen to be aberrations coinciding with each other. And we have to keep our eyes fixed on the reality. Their version of reality is that we have all kinds of contributing factors. People are caving in under the pressure of the times that we're in. Massive unemployment. We have a pandemic. We have all of the attendant problems that we should expect in a scenario like this, where people don't have money, they don't have housing, they don't have a good life, but that does not mean they don't have obligations. The same kind of obligations that they had before the pandemic. They had to provide for their families. They had to look after themselves and try to get a good life for themselves, make a good life. How do you continue to do that under the pressures that we have seen in recent times? And it will probably get worse before it gets better. It's we've gotten so many wake-up calls, and still we persist in ignoring that this change is occurring before our eyes. It's not a good change. It's not indicative of people feeling contented with their lives, or that they believe things will get better and soon. That's not what these incidents are telling us. But still, we have people preaching to us that, you know, there are people who are exceptions in society. And there always have been, and there always will be. And we don't need to make more of it than it already is. And that we have known, we have seen these kinds of things before. So it is up to us to reacclimate ourselves and readjust ourselves. Because there's nothing really, I mean, except for the fact that, you know, you have pervasive deaths and you have so much suffering. But other than that, people, for the most part, are coping and coping well and continuing to live their lives. Yes, from time to time, there are exceptions, but we should understand that that's exactly what they are. They are exceptions. They're not the norm. So we have two narratives going. One that says that things are really getting bad and even worse. And another narrative that says America will solve its problem. That is actually, I think, behind the Biden administration's approach right now. We have to comfort people. We have to do something extraordinary to convince them that things are not as hopeless as they appear to be. That we all have to hang together, or we certainly will hang separately. All that talk is good, but it doesn't have anything to do with what a person feels and thinks when he or she gets up in the morning, every morning. The first thoughts, the first feelings in that person's head, it doesn't change that person's thinking. Well, a couple of updates here for you. Derek Chauvin, as you know, charged with the murder of George Floyd. Trial appears to be almost, the jury appears to be almost complete as a result of a protracted jury selection process. And the trial is expected to start on, I believe it's the 29th, March 29th, the trial supposedly will start. We will be watching and listening and analyzing. The other thing I want to mention is about Donald Trump and the phenomenon we are seeing but not seeing. You know, it's the American way. It's happening, but it's not happening. And that is this. Former President Donald J. Trump clearly has no intention of fading away. I will go so far as to say he can't afford to fade away. There's too much happening in his life in which he has to be at the epicenter of in order to at least try to control what is about to happen to him. Since being dethroned by Biden, Trump has ratcheted up his political game, laying the groundwork for, guess what? A glorious comeback in 2024. Meanwhile, he set up something of a parallel presidency, if you notice, with his White House, quote unquote, established at his embattled Mar-a-Lago estate in Palm Beach, Florida. There, as U.S. parallel president and self-assigned Republican Party leader in chief, he's consulting with loyalists and strategists and coming up with all kinds of plans to defeat Biden. None of this is surprising. What is surprising is how open and blatant he is about it. He's already sent the threat to the current president to say, I'm coming after you, and I'm going to get you. But is Biden reacting as if he should take Trump seriously? Or is he ready for another round with Donald Trump? And what does it say about the high degree of tolerance we seem to have for this dynamic? Have you ever seen a trial or experienced a trial? Have you ever experienced a situation in which, okay, one president loses? Usually, we expect that president to observe proper protocol and kind of fade into the woodwork, even if that president has ambitions to rebound, come back again. But you don't see, at least I haven't observed or read about even, a president who so blatantly says, I'm doing my thing. I have set up a parallel presidency. Yes, Joe Biden officially is president of the United States. But I have a presidency too, and I'm perfecting it. I'm adding to it. I'm building it and rebuilding it, because I intend to take this guy out. And referring to Biden, I intend to take him out. And I want the people to know I'm not afraid. The heck with your, you know, your rules of protocol as to what I should do. I'm doing what I feel I need to do for my survival and my interests. And in effect, as quiet as it's kept, if you've noticed, Donald Trump is running a parallel presidency in the United States. I've never seen that. And I've never seen it allowed. My feeling is, okay, you have political ambitions to come back, to make a comeback. Keep it quiet, mind your business, and do your thing. But it is anything but. Is that part of the strategy to milk this idea, to let Biden know that Trump is not going to fade away? He still has troops, and they're gunning for Biden in 2024. What do you think? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. I'm particularly intrigued about this question. Do you consider the way Trump is operating, do you consider it a parallel presidency? I think it is. He's still receiving guests. He's receiving leaders, political leaders, and soliciting funds. He's doing all the things that a typical candidate would do. And on top of that, he's doing all the things that even a sitting president would do, receiving overseas guests, having these conferences, being courted by special interests. And he's talking and acting as if he's still in the White House. I've never seen anything like that. So let us take this break and come back to that discussion right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're discussing a rather interesting scenario that we find ourselves in as a nation. We have a sitting president, and we have the previous president operating also as a sitting president and operating as a parallel president. How is this going to be resolved? E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hello, Eutrice. How you doing?
How you doing, E?
Doing good. I can't say good because look at the shape of everything. So I'm just hanging in there like everybody else, I guess.
Yes.
Sometimes from my
feet. We have to hang in there. We have to hang in.
We got to hang in to keep the faith, keep the hope alive. We got to keep hope alive, right?
Okay.
Okay, so.
So what are your thoughts about this phenomenon of a president and a parallel president?
Yeah, I think it's all showmanship. He has to keep his faithful followers abreast of what his plans are, so they have hope that he's going to come back again because they love him, and he has to keep the ones that hate him nervous and wondering, is this going to happen again? You know, so that goes on. But I think I think Biden will be happy if he gets through these 4 years, and he had the most votes of any president ever. So he's got a good legacy now, and, you know, he was a two-time loser. And, you know, you said the guy from North Carolina, Claiborne, what was his, Claiborne?
Jim Clyburn.
Clyburn. You said he was responsible for reviving Biden for the primary.
Yes.
I agree.
Question about
but the real person that got Biden as the president was Donald Trump. From his ridiculous behavior, his insane behavior, made us all happy to have a guy like Joe Biden in there. You know, so it was a good plan for 4 years to get us all crazy over Trump and then let Biden come in and get all the good stuff. It was a good plan. But I think that the Democrats will have a surprise for Trump. Because guess who he's going to be running against in 2024? Mr. Andrew Cuomo. And that's why
he's dead in the water.
No way.
He has no political future. He's done. Stick him with a fork because he's done.
Okay, well, let me explain. The real issue is the nursing home issue that he sent these sick people into nursing homes. And the city loves that because most of the people in the nursing homes that he sent these sick people into are on Medicaid. And Medicaid has to pay the nursing homes like a lot of money every year. You know, if you pay private for a nursing home, it's like $150,000 a year. So Medicaid doesn't have to pay that much, but they have to pay a lot of money to the nursing homes. So they're glad if they can get rid of a lot of people that are on Medicaid. Now, Cuomo's not going to get in trouble for that.
You're straying.
No, I'm not straying. I'm just trying to answer the that you think Cuomo's finished. I think he's going to be running for president in 3 years because the women all came out.
He'll be running, all right.
No, the women all came out. Can I just finish the point and then you can say something?
Sure.
Tell me. Okay. The women came forward, all of them, all of a sudden, when there was going to be a big thing.
Oh, but you're off on a different subject altogether, discussing the particulars of Andrew Cuomo's case, which is
all
not
right.
The topic.
I'll just end it there. I'll say, I believe that Cuomo will be running for president. You don't believe that, but I believe that all this stuff
I don't
stuff
care
that's
if he runs.
On,
he's not going to win. He's done. He is done. He has no chance, as far as I'm concerned. I don't see that he has a chance at all. Part of it is, of course, he's leaning on his deceased father's reputation as an astute politician, which he's not, but he just cannot get rid of these ghosts that are riding him. So he's done.
Well,
thank you,
Donald Ian,
for getting us started today. Mike from Vancouver, you're on the air.
Hi, Yatrice. Mike here in Vancouver. I was listening to Gary this morning. I try to listen to him in the morning, and your show, of course, comes right after. And like I know you lean typically more toward the Democratic side and the left, I had to call because I normally don't call these lines, but when you made a comment about the audacity of Trump running a parallel government, I mean, if Obama didn't do that, I don't know who did, because it went on for 4 years. Obama just moved down the street in D.C. there. So I can't see how, and as far as the election goes, like, how can you believe
that? This is a break that you have here. I do not lean toward the Democrats at all.
Well, you definitely are venomous towards Donald Trump. That's for sure. Donald Trump put food on the table for people. I mean, how can you?
The gas prices
have gone up, not just in the States, but in Canada, like 40%, 30%. I mean, gas is way up. The food prices are going up. I mean, the relationship with China is going down. The border,
so what do you
the border
do?
Problems.
You tolerate,
down in,
you
down
tolerate a totally illogical choice like Donald Trump for president, and you encourage this insanity of setting himself up as a parallel president.
Well, that's exactly what Obama did to him. But Obama did the same thing, if you want to say. And the point is, Trump didn't even lose the election. I know you know I'm going to get pulled off social media for saying things like that. But how could you say that Biden won the most votes in any American election? I mean, he hardly campaigned. He was in the basement the whole time.
But wait a minute. It was a totally rigged election. Wait a minute. You are now building an ex post facto case, and you have no specific proof about anything you say.
Well, watch the war room with Steve.
No,
Bannon
I don't
morning.
Have to watch anything. I'm listening to you, not proving a point.
I guess what I'm getting at is that Biden hardly campaigned, and when he did, he was lucky to have 10, 12 people in the room. I mean, Trump
I'm
had
not
campaigns,
interested in
and,
discussing
and he was putting 50,
the details 000. Of the presidential runs of any president so far.
How can you even think that Biden will finish 4 years? I mean, he doesn't know what cities he's in when he's out talking.
The question could be asked: how could Donald Trump, who even by professional psychiatric standards, how is it that this country tolerated a man that even professionals said was a grave danger to the country because he was mentally, and still is, mentally off center, way off center? But you tolerated it. You didn't see a problem there.
What was happening in North Korea when Trump took power? When Obama was in power, what was happening in North Korea?
Try doing a pop quiz now? No. You've lost your point. And you flailing around now, trying to hop from subject to subject to kind of distract from the fact that you have not made, excuse me, you have not made your point. You have not made a point. So make a point.
What positive thing has Biden done in his lifetime? Tell me that one. What positive thing has Biden done in his lifetime?
I do not know.
What has he done in politics? What has he done for America in politics in the last 40 years?
Do you know?
No, I don't.
So then why are you asking me?
Well, because I'm telling you, what Trump has done for America is put food on the table, dealt with a border in Mexico.
Years of information about Donald Trump that allows you to make that particular
I know he was aggressive in business dealings. I know that he took.
Yes,
that when
and
he
you
built
know how
hotels,
I know that
I know.
He was aggressive in business dealings? He was extremely aggressive.
I would agree with you. He's got a hotel here.
He dragged into court to answer all these questions about fraud. That's how I know.
Any time you're doing business in New York or any major city, you're always dealing with heavy-duty people.
It's useless continuing this discussion because you're not listening and you're not predisposed to listening.
Well, anyway, I love you. I still love you.
From pillar to post.
I just feel bad because Trump was one of the best. Trump was one of the best presidents America's ever had. He was one of the best presidents you've ever had.
According to you.
Well, look at just some one simple thing, Yatrice.
I'll let you go. I should trust your political judgment.
But look at gas prices and look how much food prices are going up.
Don't tell me to look at this and look at that and look at the gas prices.
Go down to the border in Mexico, see what's happening. Go down to the U.S. border down there.
Who are you that I should implicitly trust your political judgment?
Okay, fact is, in the 4 years that Trump was in power, he never started a war. He never started a war.
Oh, Lord.
Is that not positive? No.
You haven't been paying attention.
Oh, well. Okay, well.
You haven't been paying attention, sir.
Where do you get your – do you watch news on mainstream or where do you get your news? Where do you get your news?
That's an impertinent question.
It is pertinent because we form our opinions on where we get our news.
To ask me where I get my news.
Well, that helps to form your opinion. Is where you get your news.
Doesn't it help form your opinion?
Have you ever met Trump face to face and shaken his hand and met with him?
Yes. I have met Donald Trump. I'm from New York. I know the Donald Trump who promised a skating rink that didn't work. Everybody knew it wasn't going to work.
I heard a different story about that skating rink.
Excuse me. I know the Donald Trump who called for the death penalty of four young black men who were proven to be perfectly innocent. That's a Donald Trump we know.
Yeah, and you're right. You're right. I don't know about those things. I would agree with you. I would agree with you. But when it comes to the economy, when it comes to safety in the world, over the last 4 years, it was in much better shape ever.
You ask world organizations like the World Health Organization,
which is largely financed by Bill Gates. Bill Gates is the one who's in control of the World Health Organization. Bill Gates is not even a medical man. Ask Gary about Bill Gates and the World Health Organization. Gary knows that the World Health Organization is fraud.
I don't care about that. Bill Gates and the this.
but the people are, at the World Health Organization are unelected people that are imposing things all over the world, largely conducted by Bill Gates, and that's a fact.
When has it been different?
Well,
extremely democratic and pro people? When has it been that way?
May I ask why
Give
so many?
An example.
Can I ask
Tell
why
me
so many?
Exactly
can I ask
when?
Why so many? Why do so many blacks respect Donald Trump that have met him? Candace Owens. Candace
have
Owens
you
is a brilliant
Have you done a poll?
Woman. I'm sorry.
I mean, have you done a poll?
He got the most black votes of any president.
All right. Anyway. I think you were sent to talk to me.
God sent me. God sent me, Yatrice, but I love Gary. I love you, and I wish you the very best. I do. I wish you the very best. We love you in Canada. We love you in Canada. Okay, take care. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Okay, Lincoln from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, good day, Yatrice. How are you?
Hello. How you doing?
Great, good. I'm okay. On this issue you brought up concerning Trump and his parallel government, I say more power to Trump. And I say this in the face of all of what we've been doing, because I think some of what you said was kind of a disingenuous. For 4 years, they tried to overthrow this man. For 4 years. And we were all in denial. And not only that, they brought up all these hoaxes, these Russia hoaxes, etc., and took the country to such extreme, even the COVID scam was used to overthrow him, all right? And there is so much preponderous evidence of the vote fraud. It was humongous. It's a big lie that won.
You're postulating.
No, I'm not postulating.
You're not proving anything.
There's evidence out there.
I don't want the evidence out there. You're talking to me in here. So you bring that evidence in here. Don't tell me about what's out there.
There is proof that the election was being manipulated in outside of the country. You know, there's a lot of cyber stuff occurring. You know, I listened to a black man who was intending to run for governor. This is related to the subject.
Or yellow, it doesn't matter to me. Here's a question that I have, and this is a particular problem I have. When people start postulating things, they never are able to cite credible sources. They never can direct us listening to them to places where you can find corroboration of the things they contend or accuse.
If you go on the internet, etc., there's loads of places you could find it. It's easily found.
Yes, but you know what?
If you really want to find it, but I don't think people want to find it.
All the things that it has, but it has a ton of misinformation. And
I'm referencing
preparing
the true information. What do you say about the recent disclosure that the Washington Post lied about his phone call to Georgia? What do you say about that?
Well, I say, you show me any media.
No, respond to that. What do you say about that?
No. I'm going to answer it this way. You show me any medium with a preponderance of credibility that everything they say is true.
You are good at selective.
I'm answering your question.
You're good at choosing.
You're telling me about all these sources that are beyond reproach, but yet you haven't said where they are and how I could get to them.
Okay.
And what they're saying.
A good place to start is because he has a great collection of a lot of the things because of what people sent him, I included. You could start at a place called AfroSynergy. A brother by the name of T. West. He does some real great journalism. You could start.
How do you know?
Because I've followed him. Just no different than when people say YouTube. It's no different than when people say YouTube.
I follow him. You're an acolyte. What? You're not a thinking person. You follow people.
No. When I say follow, I mean, what do people do when they listen to you? I listen
I
to
have
you.
No
Let
idea.
Me say that then. When I say scholar, I don't mean like a sycophant. That's not what I mean, because I am critical of everyone. But when I say follow his work, I'm not talking about being a sycophant. That's not what I mean. I'm saying I follow a lot of his work, and there are places where I disagree with him. But then there are places where I say, okay.
But understand, and this is what I said to the caller before, I'm not here to engage in a kind of intellectual battle about who chooses to believe this and who chooses to believe that. That is not what I'm discussing. I'm discussing,
Trump
do
and his
you
government.
Do you recognize Donald Trump now as a parallel president?
And I say,
do you
more
recognize
power to
that he has organized a structure that functions very close to being a parallel president?
And I say more power to that because of what was done.
No, you didn't. I don't care about more power. Yes or no?
And I'm saying yes, and more power to
okay.
it. In other words, okay. I endorse it. I endorse it because so many irregularities have been going on with this cancer culture, etc., and we choose to only become irate when it doesn't suit our agenda or our
irate. I am not at all irate. I
no,
just want
to I'm saying
you,
generally people
whether you observe that and whether you it occurred to you that the president, the elected president, has not been free of a direct threat to the presidency. It's akin to the same thing of insurrection. I will undermine
you.
I will destroy your
right?
administration. And
you
I'm
know,
not
Biden
even hiding
much,
it.
Biden is nothing but a ghost in the White House. You're aware of that. You know? And
whatever
you're aware that
the, you see all of that? This is what I detest about
what?
The left. It's always, you know, bad words and bad feelings. And look at things clinically for once. I don't want to know what you think is if he's a bad guy
House,
or
you know
a good
that
guy.
You know, figuratively, I mean, he's not really calling the strings. That's not bad words I'm saying about him. He is a ghost in the White House. Even Putin said it recently.
Yeah, but
respond?
Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't
look,
Putin
I mean,
that, the guy wanting
and,
to
and,
elect Trump?
And that was
Trump?
After he called Putin
wasn't,
a killer,
no, answer
which
the
was
question.
So wrong.
Answer the question. Wasn't Putin the person implicated in trying to run a shadow campaign supporting, not a shadow, in fact, a direct campaign to support the election of Trump? Yes or no?
That was a lie. That was proven to be a lie. And you choose to believe a lie. That was an outright lie. And there's no
I
proof
thank
of
you
that.
So you much know. For giving me some levity today. I need it.
All right. Okay.
And you provided it, Lincoln. Thanks so much. You know what I'm looking forward to, really? I mean this seriously. I am looking forward to a serious debate where people move away from all these silly diversions, whether you call somebody a name or you characterize somebody else that way, and deal with fact, provable fact. And let's see where you go with it. But this does not help us. All it does is that it dredges up things that we can't prove or we don't have an interest in proving. I don't want to know whether, Joe Biden is a ghost in the White House. What the heck does that mean? So we don't want to do that. We are intelligent people, and we should keep our conversations and even our debates and arguments at a much higher level than this. You disappoint me that way today. I'm looking forward to our next confrontation, because I think there's something that you are destined to help us with, and that is critical thinking. And it doesn't, critical thinking is not prating through a collection of statements written here and there and everywhere. You have not expressed your critical thinking, and that is very suspicious. But I love you, just to say. Thanks. Thanks a lot, Lincoln, for your call today. From Chicago, Henry, you're on the air.
Hey, Therese, how's it going?
Oh, I don't know. What do you think?
Okay. I promise I won't preach to you how great Trump is, and I promise I won't tell you that Trump is a victim.
Thanks so much for your kindness.
But in a sense, the seriousness of this with the last two callers is endemic of the political ideology that we form, where we're just forming our political ideologies about what we're against instead of, cultivating that and combining that to what we are for. And so, you get what happened in the last two calls. But I guess in regards to your question, and actually this kind of ties into that, is Donald Trump forming a parallel government? I don't think it's in actuality a parallel government of, what the book definition of a parallel government is.
No, I asked whether he is a parallel president.
Okay, parallel president. Yes. So,
yes.
And I still say no, because of the fact that if you are a president, then you have an established government, and he does not have that. So,
well, he has been very, very slick so far. Mm-hmm. He has people who are acting as ambassadors, traveling to foreign lands, meeting with the highest levels of their counterparts in those lands. Mm-hmm. He is, for all intents and purposes, a parallel president. He has a White House in Palm Beach, Florida, although he's almost about to be evicted from it. But he is running. His whole demeanor, his whole stature, and his structure is that he has organized himself as a parallel president. He has taken over the party. He didn't have to go out and organize a Republican party. He got one. He took it.
And I can agree with you on that point, but I still disagree with, him being a parallel president. I will mm-hmm. say that he is the leader of the Republican Party. I can agree with you on that one. But as far as being a president and being a parallel president, because, yes, he is going to foreign countries and special interest groups. But, Donald Trump has no military. Well, not at least yet. But he can't invade other countries,
He doesn't need it now. He's in the organizational stage. He's organizing and setting a structure in place that very troublingly looks like a governmental structure. That's what he's doing very quietly. But not so quietly, if I could notice it and other people can see it.
Oh, yes. And I can see it as well. But, like you said, it looks like it, but it's not it. So I would say that, yeah, I think he's, you know, and I agree with you to a point where he is basically campaigning to be reelected again. And I guess he's setting himself up to win, you know, or trying to win in 2024. But I just don't think that, you know, when you're talking about a parallel government, just say like, you know, when before the Civil War happened, you know, you had the Confederacy. Now, that was a parallel government because of the fact that they had a military behind them. And then they had a president and they had a Congress and everything. So he may look, it may look like, you know, he has a structure of government, but for me, it's really not a, it's really not a, a governmental loose. Structure.
That's the beauty of the plan so far as it gets off the ground in full force. It looks, it doesn't look intimidating. It just looks like a guy trying to find his way to re-election and putting things together that might work. It doesn't look foreboding. It doesn't look like a direct threat, but it is. Whoever heard of a president tolerating an ex-president basically having a shadow government? It's not formally organized. It's not formally announced. But the people are there. And he's raising money. And he's taken over a political party without firing a shot, which is fundraising arm and his political legitimacy in the making.
Yeah, and I don't downplay the threat of a Donald Trump because I still think he is a threat. You know, just alone, you know, what you had mentioned about what he said about Joe Biden, you know, if obviously if he was not a white man and if he was an Arab, they would, you know, call him a terrorist for threatening a president or even a black person for threatening a terror, you know, for threatening a president. So, yeah, I don't lessen the threat of a Donald Trump because yes, he is a threat, and I agree that we should, you know, we should basically keep an eye on his, you know, on his activities. But you know, let's just hope that justice will be served and he gets to pay for all of the, you know, crimes that he's committed before the presidency and during his presidency.
Amen. I'm going to attend your church. Reverend, thanks so much for your call
Thank
today.
You.
Jay from Manhattan, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. Hi, Eutrice. How you doing? Are you hanging in?
Okay.
You were in the boxing ring today. Woo.
Miss Corner, Eutrice Lee. Earlier today. So I'm hot.
Yeah. Well, I think that was pretty challenging. I think it was kind of good to, you know, hear all kinds of views and hear how you defend and hear how you, you know, show us parts of your background and parts. I love that West Indian, Caribbean fire and guts, you know. It makes me just feel good. And then also to be reminded that, you know, it's better to come with a point. So I'm going to try to come with a point because you don't have much minute. I remember Trump. Well, first of all, you're saying, is he setting up a parallel government? Okay, or parallel presidency? Well, here in my answer, I would say he's trying to. And I would say one of the things that number 45 brought out is all the slippery, slidey, sneaky ways he can get around situations. I mean, he and how the government did not go far enough to get that guy. You know, this last impeachment, they didn't get him. They didn't hit him with all the stuff that he did, all the sexual stuff, all the political stuff, all the crap, all the people that he put in that shouldn't have been in, his children and how that was wrong, his businesses overseas and how that was out of line. You know, I'm using the casual languages, but I know that that's not what should be allowed. But he got away over and over. He got away with doing things that he should not have been able to do as president. So I think he knows that he can set up something and he can try to go as far as he can. And unfortunately, fortunately, we're sleeping. See, but by listening to you and trying to read and trying to study, I'm not saying I got it all down because you've spoken to me and made some points that I had to hear. But unfortunately, we're not on it to size up these people and keep the sization, if I could make up a word, the assessment, the conclusion. The sization of these people and keep it in mind. So every time they come up with something that's out of line, I'll just say quick, out of line, incorrect, or unlawful. And I know he's got to be one of your boys, Ralph Nader. I think he's one of mine, Elder. He comes up with these things that tell you where number 45 is wrong, where he went out of line. But you don't get to hear people like that anymore. So we are kind of like on our own a little bit to size up and come up with a good sization of these people. And we got to keep it in our heads so that every time these people come up, every time they're talked about, it's like having the side effects of a drug. You need to remember what the side effects are so that no matter how they try to reform themselves or keep themselves going, we have to be able to say, I'm not buying it.
Well, you know what? We have to leave it right there because we're out of time. But, Jean, I'm glad to be waited for you because you did a bit of teaching here today. And I thank you for it. Thank you so much. Thank you all for calling in and contributing. Let's get together tomorrow and see what else we're going to talk about. Bye-bye.